Hello everyone, it's really nice to be here. We're going to shift gears a little bit and show you some pictures and break things up a little bit. Basically what I'd like to do today is I'm going to present some information about a program evaluation that we are doing in India. It's one of six programs over the last year that Boston University Center for Global Health and Development has been evaluating. So what I'd like to do in my presentation is just give you a brief picture of OVC in India. I'd like to talk about what is the Children Affected by AIDS pilot scheme, which is the subject of our review. I'd like to do an overview of organizational network analysis. Has anyone ever had an exposure to organizational network analysis or has participated in anything, just to get a sense of that from the audience? Raise your hand if you know about organizational network analysis. Okay, good. Well, the definitions and the depth that I've provided will probably help. I then would like to continue and present some of the organizational network analysis results and give you some selected examples from the different districts where we work in. It's going to be very difficult to provide a completely in-depth overview of the linkages and the coordination in each of these districts, but to just give you a sense of what we can do with this methodology. And lastly, I'd like to talk about what we can learn by applying organizational network analysis. So basically, what is the picture of OVC in India? India, even though it has a low, less than 1% prevalence rate of HIV/AIDS, because of the large population, it has the third largest number of people in the world with HIV/AIDS, about 2.3 million adults, an estimated 95,000 children, and 2 to 3 million affected children, and about 64,000 children in the last couple of years of statistics that are actively registered with ART centers, and approximately 20,000 that are on ART. Now, a little bit of the history of the Children Affected by AIDS pilot scheme. It was just launched by the National AIDS Control Organization in May 2010 in about 10 districts, the 10 high prevalence districts in India. And the goal of the program was basically to provide a coordinating function to link all the health, the care, and the support services at the district level to be able to serve orphans in a more unified way. There were operational guidelines that were developed through a task force. It was funded by USAID, and part of the task force was also NACO, the National AIDS Control Organization, the Ministry of Women and Child Development, UNICEF, Family Health International, the India HIV/AIDS Alliance, and the Clinton Foundation. Now, each of these task force members then had representative or organizations in each of the states and districts where the implementation was to take place, and so they took charge in terms of mentoring their state-level counterparts and district-level counterparts to deliver the program. Now, the purpose of our evaluation or review of this program was to identify what are the effective programmatic practices and pathways for this coordination that could result in some health, economic, and social benefits for children living with HIV/AIDS. Here is a little bit of a description. These are the 10 districts. The ones in red are the ones that we actually conducted the organizational network analysis, and it included Northeast Delhi, Nagpur district in Maharashtra, both districts in Andhra Pradesh, East Godavari and Krishna, both districts in Karnataka, Belgaum and Bagalkot. Due to some of the circumstances related to the kind of support that we weren't able to get in some of the other places, we weren't able to conduct this analysis because it requires the cooperation of all the government level departments and so on and so forth. So what are organizational networks? Now, a very simple definition is that it's a group of three or more independent organizations that work towards a common goal or a common purpose. In terms of developing relationships, you need, just like any relationship, you need trust, you need some level of reciprocity, you need to have the ability to negotiate. The networks, in general, can be emergent from the bottom up, or they can be mandated top-down, just like in the situation with the CABA pilot scheme. It was mandated top-down for this coordination to take place. Also, there are many types of connections that are possible in many different types of networks for sharing information, for joint planning, for referrals, for training, etc., depending on the purpose of your program or the purpose of the collaboration. And in the ONA lingo, ties are the basic form of the connection that can happen, which is just basically one organization having any kind of connection or relationship with another organization. The methodology that we applied, organizational network analysis is a relatively new methodology that's been used in public health. It hasn't been used that extensively. It's mainly the domain of management and business programs, and there's a lot of organizational network analysis that happens in the private sector to help to improve profits and so on. And our goal here was to try to see how we could improve service delivery. The respondents to our questionnaire were basically the implementers of this CAVA pilot scheme and also the key staff from all the relevant departments, health, HIV/AIDS departments, and also the broader social service sectors that are instrumental in providing any kind of benefit scheme for orphans and vulnerable children and their families. So what are the results that we can get? We developed organizational network diagrams that you'll see. We did some analysis, and we hope to disseminate a lot of this information to the areas where we did the work so they can actively use it in terms of strengthening some of their relationships and improving service delivery. And the objectives of the organizational network analysis, as I stated before, is to try to understand the multi-sectoral department structures and the relationship dynamics, and there are different measures that can do that, to identify what are the key departments of influence and their role in connecting departments to the network. Also, what are some of the organizational roadblocks for getting services to infected and affected children and their families? Now, the three levels of measurement in organizational network analysis, there's the whole network level, which is looking at all the organizations at the state, at the district level, even at the Toluca block or however geographically you name the lower level areas. So that's one level. The other level is looking at the node analysis, which is basically relationships between the two organizations or just a dyadic relationship. And the third way to organize it is at the relationship level, which is looking at what they're relating or what they're connecting about. The whole network analysis basically uses a measure called centralization, which is the degree to which organizations are centrally connected versus being dispersed. Density is the sum of the ties divided by the sum of the possible ties that this network can have. This is just to give you a little bit of a flavor of what some of these measures look like. In Delhi, these are the centralization and the density scores. Now, in our analysis, we had period one, which is the period before the CABA pilot scheme was implemented. We asked organizations the year before CABA, did they have a relationship, and what kind of relationship did they have? Period two is 1 year after the CABA pilot scheme implementation, and then within period two, we asked them more specifically so that they would remember their most recent relationships, to what extent did they work together on joint planning, on sharing information, on referrals, or on training. Now, in organizational network analysis, we have what's called unconfirmed and confirmed relationships. Just as the name suggests, if I say I have a relationship with Malcolm, that's unconfirmed unless Malcolm says he has a relationship with me. So basically, in
we
don't. So in the rest of the analysis,
unconfirmed.
So we're going to be talking about confirmed relationships. And as you can see in the density of the relationships, basically it goes down almost by half. If you look just at the confirmed relationships, the density of the overall network really goes down tremendously. And as we see from period one to period two, it's really interesting that the centralization increase, which as we'll see later, there are some organizations that were to be involved in the coordination function that we feel really met their goal in terms of getting more organizations involved or their visibility increased. So this is just a little picture just to show you. You don't have to look at all of the details, but this translates the graph or the chart that we showed before. As you can see, all of these relationships, people are saying, I'm connected to everybody else. When you look at the confirmed relationships, you can see that's almost half of the unconfirmed relationships. So that's what happens in every relationship, I guess. But I'm going to focus just on a few of the measures. There are multiple measures in organizational network analysis, but the ones that have been, that are most interesting from our standpoint to look at are these organizational level, or some people call them egocentric networks. So what we want to look at in these networks is which network positions are the most influential, which types of connections are most beneficial, and how these factors may change over time because of the program or some other change in the environment. Now, the two measures that we use for this organizational level analysis is something called degree centrality, which is basically just counting the number of adjacent links to and from an organization or a person. Between the centrality, which is something that I'm going to present a little bit more information on, is the extent to which some organizations or individuals fall between two other pairs of organizations, and the shortest path to connecting others, because then their power increases because they are sharing information. They're basically the bridge to other organizations. So that's the term betweenness centrality. So we're going to look at some betweenness centrality plots. And these plots have been fun to develop. There's a software called UCINET and a mapping software that's attached to that, because all of these plots are made by building matrices, square matrices, and then importing them into the software and creating some of these plots. So we're going to be looking at what happened before CABA pilot scheme was implemented in period one, and then after 1 year of implementation in period two, to see what happened to these networks in some of these places. And I'll show you a little variety from some of the different geographic areas where we worked. Now, in Delhi, in the pre-CABA period, this is the way betweenness centrality was organized. Basically, the orange squares are district-level organizations, and the blue diamonds are the state-level organizations. And the size of the square or the diamond is determined by the importance of this betweenness centrality measure. So for example, here, the district health and medical office is very important. The district DAPQ, the district AIDS prevention control unit, is very important in this network. The state AIDS control society in Delhi is very important. So the size of what they call the nodes is representative of how important that organization is in linking others to the network. In period two, as we can see, DAPQ, which is the implementing arm of this CABA pilot scheme, it actually increased. If we actually look at the numbers, a lot of their betweenness centrality scores increased, and the role of the state-level organizations got reduced. The other interesting thing to note is that this National Rural Health Mission over to the left is something that was created in 2006 in India, and the goal of National Rural Health Mission was to integrate lots of different social programs in addition to health programs, because if you notice on the right-hand side of the plot, there are a lot of HIV/AIDS organizations, drop-in center, ICTC, ART center, and so on and so forth, and they're very closely connected by, you know, as depicted by the lines. If you look over to the other side of the plot, a lot of the non-health organizations, including the Department of Women and Child Development, which is a major role that they play in providing nutrition services and providing some economic schemes and so on to kids, is not really well integrated into the entire network. But National Rural Health Mission is playing a big role in connecting the non-health organizations to some of the HIV/AIDS organizations. Now, here's an example. This is really interesting how different districts really have different pictures or different modes of relating to each other. Now, in Andhra Pradesh, in East Godavari district, in period one, you have almost like two separate networks. In organizational network analysis, these are called small world networks. So they're basically operating, you know, as two separate clusters. And there are some groups that are bridging the two different clusters. One is the the DCO, the District Collector's Office, which is a very powerful function at the district level. I should also say that this particular network map also has Toluca or these block level organizations that are in gray and in green, so it just gives you an idea of what the whole thing looks like. The betweenness centrality for the Andhra Pradesh network really hasn't changed very much in period two, which is one observation that we've made. The existing network structure in 1 year basically doesn't change that much. Here's another example of an amazing amount of interaction in Karnataka and Belgaum district, where a lot of the organizations, even down to the Toluca level, are very much connected with each other. But the state level doesn't play such a big role. And it doesn't, not much changes in 1 year after the CABA pilot scheme implementation, because they were already very well connected. Now moving on, since we have little time, the intensity and the multiplexity are two other relationship level measures, which basically the intensity is the frequency within which the organizations interact with each other, and multiplexity describes the different types of connections that they might have, whether it's sharing information, planning, referrals, training. So just to give you a brief overview, in Andhra Pradesh in the East Godavari district, we see that the red ties are ties on a monthly or more frequent basis. It really increases a lot in time two or period two. In Delhi also, if you look at, we can look at this frequency maps of the various things that they interact on. So for different types of interactions, different organizations take a major role. For sharing information, looks like this District AIDS Prevention Control Unit plays a big role, again NRHM does, and so on and so forth. But you see the Department of Women and Child Development over to the left is again kind of isolated. Now for joint planning, there's another different structure. Some of the same players here, the State AIDS Control Society plays a big role in the planning function, which makes sense. It's a little more centralized. And what I have found within the referral networks is that there are a lot of groups. If you look over to the left, all the organizations that are left out, they're called isolates. And most of them are non-health organizations, organizations that should be providing other social services to orphans and vulnerable children that aren't even connected into the referral network. And the major players in referral are ICTC, PPCT, the community care centers, and so on. So, and the Department of Women's Child Development also only has its own connection to the Child Welfare Committee and is not even connected to the broader network, which to have more of an impact, they should be connected. Multiplexity is, again, the red lines show how connected on four different things they're connected, and it's mainly the HIV/AIDS organizations and the non-HIV/AIDS organizations, including health and also the social service, again, are not well connected. In Karnataka, as we have seen, it's such a dense network, they're really connecting. You can see all the different red lines they're connecting on everything, so hopefully that will result in more services to kids, we are assuming, but that part of the equation we still need to work on. So what are our observations? There are not much change in overall network structure from before the CABA pilot scheme was implemented to period two, 1 year after implementation. We did note that the frequency of interactions increased across most of the districts that we looked at. Some departments gained more influence that were more of the HIV/AIDS departments. But again, in a lot of these maps, the cross-sectoral collaboration is very limited. The non-health organizations are on the periphery of most of the networks. They're essential in terms of moving the social and economic agenda for kids forward, but they're not really part of the existing network structure to be able to do it effectively. And also, most of the referral networks are not well integrated as well. So what are our conclusions? Organizational networks are at different stages of development, and they really affect service provision, and the situation varies from district to district, so some of our strategies, if we know this information, we can develop more specific strategies. The identification of key departments for different program implementation goals, we can actually tap into that from some of these maps. We know that there's a really important role for these bridging departments that bring in these peripheral organizations into the network, and they would be really important to work with to accomplish our program goals. This organizational network analysis, it also clarifies the channels of information flow, the channels for planning, referrals, and what are some of the potential breakdowns. And also, as can be seen from this presentation, that relationships can be strengthened by improving the frequency of the interaction, expanding the different types of ways that organizations interact with each other, because ultimately, having a well-functioning organizational network can really produce a lot of results in terms of providing optimal services to children and their families. So thank you very much.